So today is the day during the year that we celebrate the Reformation, when Martin Luther began trying to get the church to get back to God's word. And so it was the beginning of the Reformation way back in 1517. So, you know you're Lutheran when it's 100 degrees with 90% humidity and you still have coffee after the service. You hear something really funny during the sermon and smile as loudly as you can. You know you're Lutheran when donuts are a line item in the church budget, just like coffee. Which, by the way, donuts right now is not a line item in our budget, so let's try to rectify that, treasurer, wherever you are. You know you're Lutheran when the communion cabinet is open to all, but the coffee cabinet is locked up tight. When you watch a Star Wars movie and they say, "May the Force be with you," you respond, "And also with you." And lastly, it takes 15 minutes to say goodbye. You know you're a Lutheran. So we like to make fun of ourselves, but this is the day that we celebrate the Reformation and getting back to God's word and back to the gospel. And so we talked with the kids about "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and that is Martin Luther's most famous hymn that he ever wrote. And it's kind of become like the battle hymn for the Lutheran church ever since, even though that's not really why he wrote it. So most scholars think that it was written between 1527 and 1529, somewhere in those years. And during that time in Luther's life, it was some of the most darkest times that he ever experienced. Because what was going on then was there was a plague. Lots of people were dying. He had a child, Elizabeth, who was born sickly, and then died 5 months later. Luther was depressed, and in fact, he talks a lot about his depression. He struggled with it. He was spiritually and mentally fatigued from praying to God to help his daughter, and then his daughter still died. But it was during this time that he wrote this hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which is based on Psalm 46. And so he meant it to be a hymn of comfort. So let's talk about this Psalm 46, which is what this whole song is based on. So I'm going to read the first three verses here, Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at his swelling." God is always present in the midst of our troubles. It's up there on the screen for you. Do you believe that? The writer of this psalm seems very confident in these words. But I know people who wonder why God seems to be not very present in the midst of their troubles. You know, trouble can strike at any time in our lives. A lot of times when we least expect it, and it can just throw our life out of kilter, correct? You know, it may seem like the earth gives way, the mountains shake, the waters roar and foam an awful lot in our lives. So we can profess God is our refuge and strength, like verse 1 says, a very present help in trouble. But those questions can still gnaw at us. Questions like, where is God when my world is falling apart? How is God a refuge in strength? What does his help look like? Have you ever wondered those before? We can read these verses here in Psalm 46. Luther was reading these, wrote a hymn about it, and his daughter still died at 5 months old. So where was God? Well, the answer is in these next verses. Let's go on in Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 4 there, it says, there is a river. What does this mean? Good Lutheran question, right? What does this mean? We have a God who has always wanted to dwell, wanted to be with his people from day one in the Garden of Eden. He's always wanted to be with us. He went from being with Adam and Eve in the garden to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, Moses, and then to the temple in Jerusalem where he would come, and that's where he would dwell with his people in the Holy of Holies inside the temple. God came to dwell with them. And then things changed when God sent his son to take on flesh. On that very first Christmas. Remember, God's always wanted to be with us, and now it's going to take a big turn. Because God is going to take on flesh. In John chapter 2, Jesus enters the temple in Jerusalem and is upset because they're making money in the temple off of people, and he starts whipping tables over and stuff. And he says these words, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Was he talking about the physical building? No, Jesus is the temple. He is now literally there with them in the flesh because we have a God that always wants to be with us. Jesus is the new temple. And Jesus is in the midst of his people suffering all those troubles in the flesh. So as the sanctuary was in the midst of Jerusalem, so the church now in 2024, us, the people of God, we are the church. The church is not a building. The church is the people. It's us. And so that's why we gather together as a body of believers here, brothers and sisters who come to hear the word and receive the sacraments. We have baptism, communion. The Holy Spirit is working in and through us so that when those storms do come, we can be confident that God is a very present help in trouble. So I haven't really still answered that river thing yet. There is a river, is the way this verse 4 started. John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Jesus is discussing with the woman at the well. First of all, Jesus is breaking all kinds of barriers here. First of all, this was a woman, this was a Samaritan woman. Jews weren't supposed to talk to Samaritans. Men weren't supposed to talk to women that were not their relatives. Jesus doesn't care. He's talking to this Samaritan woman. And then we get this exchange here in verses 10 and following. Jesus answered the woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to the woman, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The river in verse 4 of Psalm 46 is Jesus. It's one of those beautiful threads in the Bible, crimson thread. Jesus is that river. And we can follow it all the way to Revelation chapter 22. Look at what it says here. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth. That's the wrong verses, sorry. This is chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. So John's given this vision of heaven, and what does he see? He sees a river flowing from the Lamb. Jesus is the river. Let's finish this Psalm 46 up, the last couple verses. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Just like when Jesus was doing his ministry and Jesus told the wind and the storm and the waves to be still, and they were, we see it here again, be still and know that he is God. He's got all the storms in your life under control. It may not always seem like it, but he has got you. And then it says in there, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And the writer of Psalm 46 is repeating this, saying it again to remind us so we don't forget. He is our fortress. No matter how bad things get, no matter how many storms and troubles you have in your life, you can be assured that God is in the midst of them, right there alongside you. And so this last thing here, God is, put your name in there. God is Scott's mighty fortress. And just to close out here, I just wanted to read a couple of these verses of the hymn that you guys sang. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. God is our fortress. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field, the battlefield, forever. Amen.